1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The U.S. investigating an attack by two rockets that today hit the Al-Asad air base with U.S. and coalition forces in Iraq. Several U.S. service people injured, says a Defense Department spokesperson. No word yet who fired the rockets. At the State Department earlier, alongside his Australian counterpart, Secretary Antony Blinken, calling this a critical moment and that all parties must refrain from escalation.
It is urgent that all parties make the right choices in the hours and days ahead.
This hurricane, now again Tropical Storm Debbie, its center over the Florida-Georgia border, moving northeast. Power companies report over 160,000 outages, flood damage. Forecasters say some areas could get up to 30 inches of rain. Global stock markets sell-off today was triggered, analysts say, by new concerns about the U.S. economy. Analysts say the economy's fundamentals remain strong and the major index is still a lot higher than this time last year. This is ABC News. Elon Musk is suing OpenAI again.
This is the second lawsuit that Elon Musk has filed against the maker of ChatGPT. He alleges the two co-founders of OpenAI, Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, breached the company's founding principles by putting profits ahead of creating artificial intelligence for the good of all humanity. Musk withdrew the earlier lawsuit back in June, just a day before a judge was set to rule on its dismissal. Musk was an early investor in OpenAI before leaving the company in 2018. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Cooler weather is helping fire crews battle California's Park Fire that has burned through more than 400,000 acres since it started almost 2 weeks ago. It's now 34% contained. A 42-year-old man is charged with starting the fire, being held without bail. Red Cross warns the nation is facing an emergency blood shortage, saying excessive heat waves impacted over 100 blood drives. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The first cases of West Nile virus infections in Wisconsin this year have turned up in a would-be blood donor in Washington County and a dead bird in Chippewa County. It means infected mosquitoes are transmitting the virus to people and animals. 150 people at three wood product factories are out of a job, Lisa Hale reports.
Wisconsin Veneer and Plywood of Mattoon and Goodman Veneer and Lumber Company informed the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development that they would close the facilities and terminate all employees Friday, August 2nd. Birchwood Manufacturing and Rice Lake also closed. The companies are all owned by Bessie Forest Products Group. They said unprecedented industry downturn forced the closures. I'm Lisa Hale.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
All systems go in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers put on a show over the weekend on family night. Jordan Love signing autographs for fans and doing interviews.
Training camp's been good so far. Great practice going against a great defense every day. A lot of great competition, but that receiver room, tight end room, all those playmakers, man, they're looking great. I'm very excited about what we got building and just a lot of those guys, you know, taking that next step and building on what we did last year. So I'm very excited.
The biggest question is still at kicker. Anders Carlson went 8 for 9 after going 3 for 6 earlier in the week. Greg Joseph, 7-for-9 family night. The Packers have signed another kicker, Jonathan Garibay, who's kicked for the Dallas Cowboys and in the UFL. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3. Milwaukee has now lost 3 straight series. Today, they travel to Atlanta, where they'll play the Braves tomorrow night.
I love this team, guys, and I'm not going to start criticizing them for making youthful mistakes or for hitting balls hard and not having to be timely hitting.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. A flood watch continues tonight. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain. Severe storms also possible. Cloudy and a low near 60. Early clouds and leftover rain, then clearing for tomorrow. Nice day, high mid-70s. Currently, it's 66.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, your loyal host, who is here tonight to bring you the truly important news, the news that brings us together as human beings as we discuss the things we love, like movies and TV and music and comedy and all the great things that bring us together. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Hope you had a great day wherever you are listening from in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. It is, it's raining again, Conrad, in Green Bay. And I don't know what to do about that. There's not, it's kind of out of my control, but,
You know what? I would say after all that hot weather last week, it does feel really nice out there though.
Doesn't feel too bad, does it? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Well, like I didn't see Twisters like I wanted to, but
what happened?
I don't know. So the last time I went, I was kind of disappointed in theater because it doesn't have the new seating. You know?
Oh, right.
So I just was like, do I go back to it or not? I don't know. I'm going to find a new theater, I think. But other than that, I watch some Olympics.
You don't like the new seating in the theater?
No, I do. The theater that I went to doesn't have it.
I gotcha.
They have the old seating that just has the cup holders on each side, you know, and just.
Yeah,
basic.
That shouldn't be too tough to find, right?
I mean, most theaters do have an upgraded seating now, but okay. I'm surprised that one doesn't because it's Marcus.
All right. Well, so you got to see Twisters though soon.
I mean, the clock is ticking, buddy. I know. Maybe I'll just wait till it comes out for home, you know?
Yeah. What did you think about the Olympics? I have to tell you, I'm struggling to get interested in the Olympics. And I'll be honest. Some people on Facebook are losing their minds over, you know, the boxer and the Last Supper thing. I can't even take it. It's like, who are the snowflakes here? It's like these people are looking. It takes the fun out of the Olympics. The Olympics is supposed to unite us.
Yep.
Like Nightlight does.
Exactly.
It's just a bummer. And my wife and my folks both love it. They're into it. And I'll watch like the track stuff. I don't know. I'm not really into the diving.
I will get into anything that's on.
That's great. That's a good way.
Got really locked into fencing the other day.
Wow. you were dying for something to watch.
You know, I was cleaning my apartment, had that on the background, and it just got so interesting.
Wow, good for you. That's
it takes skill to do that.
When you're that easily entertained, you will always have something to watch.
Well, any sport. I'll watch any sport there is.
Yeah, fencing's tough. It's a skill, no question, like diving is.
Yeah.
And I just don't find it that thrilling to watch. I love my country, obviously. I hope they do well. What really gets me, I love the track and field events. I love the gymnastics. I think what gymnasts do is truly remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping eight times yeah. in the air. That's insane.
Yeah.
But some of the events, I got to be honest, I cannot. Looking for a Three's Company episode or something to watch.
Have you watched the basketball yet?
That's another one. No. That's
true entertainment right there.
What, are we blowing everybody out?
We just have the best squad. It's like Dream Team 2, basically.
Yeah,
that we
see,
have.
That's not... But is that really fun to watch?
It is. At least for me.
Okay.
You just I love
like
watching
to see
it.
People dominate then, right?
It is great.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of years, we didn't win a gold medal. So this is LeBron's last year on the Olympics team.
Oh,
probably
that's true.
Stephen
yeah.
Curry's last... A lot of people's last time on the Olympic squad, I think. So it's fun to see him one last time.
You are a true patriot, I will say that. I applaud you for your cheering of the Olympics. We have another week, right? It's like a few more days?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to watch something. This is a big, we got a fun show tonight. Tom Ryan is here. A truly very funny comedian is here at 7:35. Tom and I have gone, I've known Tom probably 30 years, and we'll kind of talk for a while, then not talk. So I reached out to him again because he's just a perfect guy to be on this show. He has a very deadpan, he's a brilliant joke writer and has a terrific deadpan delivery. I may have mentioned this last week, but one of my favorite jokes of Tom's is I have very fair skin. I once got a really bad sunburn standing next to a guy with a bright future. Brilliant joke. And, you know, Tom will be here at 7:35. We're going to tease his appearance with a little bit of his Letterman set from, a few years ago. So Tom will be here at 7:35. And then, this is exciting too, in the second hour, we are going to rock. We are not going to let anyone have a case of the Mondays because Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother will be here. Eric Ratzak and Adam Krause will be here from Ask Your Mother. They were here about 3 months ago and just crushed. They're so much fun. Eric is like, you know, he reminds me of Amelie from 7,000 Apart.
Yeah.
He sits in the chair and sings, but he's like, he's just like, man, he's just passionate and he's bringing it from a chair. I love that. And Adam's a great guitar player. At least that's what he was playing when he was here before. I think he plays other instruments too, but those guys are a lot of fun. They'll be here at 8:20 tonight. So we got a little comedy, a little music. What else? Where do I even start? It is National... Underwear Day, folks,
yep.
And I am really excited about that because, contrary to popular opinion, I wear underwear quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
I do.
That's a good thing to know.
I'm telling you. I think people should know, and I think I want to put this out there, too. Like, everybody, you know, like, you'll hear women on, like, rom-coms or guys when they're talking about girls. This is a chance for women and men to tell us what kind of underwear they like on the opposite sex. If you're a girl, what kind of underwear do you like on guys? You like your guy in boxers, tighty whities. I can't even say that without boxers, tighty whities, long underwear, boxer briefs. What do you like on your guy? And fellas, what do you like on your girl? Don't get too weird, but you know, I mean, do you like those big underpants from the 50s? Bikini? There's all kinds of different underwear, folks. It's a celebration of undergarments. So tonight we are talking about unmentionables. That is our question. Jump right in, folks, and let us know what you like. And it could be on your partner. It could be on the opposite sex. It could be on the same sex. If you go that way, that's totally fine, too. Let us know what you like. It's underwear talk on Nightlight. It's about time. You know how long I've been waiting for underwear, National Underwear Day, just so I could talk about undergarments on this show?
It's marked on your calendar, right?
Brutal. Yeah, it is. Sherry checks in and says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. Great to have you with us tonight. Sherry sends the nice emojis, too. That just makes you feel warm
emojis,
inside.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Thank you, Sherry. So let us know what kind of underwear you like. It is National Underwear Day. And Conrad, why don't we start things off here? What do you like, you know? What
well,
do you like on a girl?
Like the intro says to this segment, you know, the edible undies.
Edible undies. Because you always have a snack, just in case. If you're out hiking and you get lost, honey, I'm sorry. I need your underpants. I brought a canteen and I got you those underpants just in case such an occasion arose.
You know what? I really like the watermelon flavor too. So if it's watermelon. Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I'm all hat, no cattle. I don't even know what edible undies are. I just thought it sounded like a good gift. So I don't know. And I can't, it seems like an inconvenience.
Edible. I feel like it gets sticky.
It would be weird. It's like, we know what you're getting at. Just go for it. You don't need this weird middleman, the edible underwear. It's just wrong. But I'll say I'll say this. I'm going to be diplomatic. I don't care what kind of underwear a woman wears. It's not really up to me. But what I'm going to respond to most is the woman. Sure, everybody could say, I like bikini underwear, G-string, thong. Conrad, help me out here.
Granny panties.
But, you know, they're all great. But it depends on the style and how a girl rocks them, shall we say. So that's what I'll say. I think a lot of women like boxers on men. I split the difference. I go boxer brief.
Okay.
I don't like boxers. It's kind of pointless to me. Like, well, why do you wear underwear? Just to have a buffer there? I get that maybe, but I don't need underwear if it's boxers. Tidy whitey is just too, those are useless after the age of 12.
Yes.
Honestly. And so that's where I'm at. And I do long underwear. I do think in the winter, I like a nice pair of long underwear just for those extra cold days. That's fun too. So let us know, folks. We got to get to the bottom of this. How do you like the opposite sex or the same sex? What underwear do you like your partner to wear? It's National Underwear Day, and it's about damn time, as far as I'm concerned. Are there any other days today we're celebrating, Conrad? Is that
National Dash Cam Day?
What is that?
You have a cam on your dash?
I don't. Police do, so they can arrest shirtless villains.
Sometimes I think it's smart to have one. Like, if you're in a city that's heavily, with, you know, you're going in traffic every single day, heavy traffic, if you crash one day, you have proof of what actually happened, you know?
But do regular people have dash cams?
Some do. I know that a lot of Uber and Lyft drivers have.
Oh, them. I guess I could see that, yeah.
They have one inside and outside.
I see. That sounds like the people that used to have scanners in their homes because they want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
My buddy Dan's mom had one. She would wake him up in the middle of the night. Danny, there's a fire. Let's go. He'd have to drive his mom to see what the commotion was. I love that. Eric checks in on the stream. Eric Rasek. Hey, Eric, he says, see you soon. You're damn right, buddy. Can't wait for those guys to get here. They were so fun. I wonder do you remember what song they sang? Because we should have them do something different.
I believe they sung, they did some covers, I believe.
Right.
So I guess we'll have to see.
I'll pick their brain when they come in. But we got a lot of stuff to cover here. Sometimes there's so much going on. I don't know. We got Princess Leia's bikini being raffled off. That was kind of the catalyst for the underwear question, wasn't it?
Yep.
Game of Thrones spinoffs. I watched a Mel Gibson movie last night I was conflicted about. But I'll dig into that a little bit too. All right. We got a lot going on. Tom Ryan, very funny comedian, is here at 7:35. Couple of the guys from Ask Your Mother, Eric and Adam, are here at 8:20. They're going to rock the place like they always do. And we're talking about underwear. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. A dear upstart, and it breaks my heart. From a teardrop fall, I want to cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt. And together we're Mino and the Mayor on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, weekday mornings.
As our audience grows, we're looking to find an experienced outside marketing professional to join our civic media team to work with local business owners who want to grow.
Not only does WGBW reach qualified radio listeners, we help business owners reach customers on their mobile phones, tablets, even on screens at the gas pump.
The person who joins our team needs to be as motivated as we are to bring great local radio to Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Someone with a creative streak and no fear of introducing themselves and us to the Green Bay business community.
If you're listening to us now, imagine how many others are and how we can help business owners reach the customers they want to do business with.
To apply, email me directly. My name is Chris Morrow, Vice President of Sales. My email address is chris.moreau@civicmedia.us. chris.moreau@civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
So, here's a weird thing. I've been desperately trying to get back into shape. I put on a few pounds since I've been doing radio because you sit a lot. So I'm trying to get back in shape. This is what happened to you. I went to my parents last night. I saw a picture of myself from like 5 years ago. I was like, oh man, I look good there. And then I realized I was trying to lose weight then. Like that's 5 years ago. And it's like, hey, I look pretty good. It only means I've gotten fatter. You know what I mean? Like you always look back and it's like, oh yeah, that's the look. That's when I was looking good. No. I remember trying that keto diet then, you know. Kind of a cruel joke. Picture.
It is.
It's terrible. So tonight's question is, what kind of underwear do you like on the opposite sex? Conrad likes edible underwear just in case of emergency.
Yep.
I can go with a number of different things. I guess small underwear is better, right? Yeah. You like the big underpants on the opposite sex?
I don't know about the granny panties.
I've never heard that phrase before, granny panties.
You never? Wow.
Is that from the Krieger household? Is that how you guys used to?
No, I feel like that's, I've seen that in a bunch of movies, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you have a grandma who goes for the thong? That could be trouble.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. I don't know. So we have, Tom Ryan is coming up at 7:35. I clipped a little bit of his comedy earlier. This is from a set of his on Letterman that he did several years ago. This is our guest at 7:30, Tom Ryan.
So I had to call my credit card company, and I got that menu. And part of the menu is, if you're calling from a rotary phone, stay on the line, and someone will be with you shortly. You know what it should say? If you're calling from a rotary phone, push-button phones are available at Walmart for $12. Why don't you get in your 73 Gremlin, make a left on that dirt road, and join us in the new fast-paced world of push-button technology.
That's Tom Ryan. He'll be here at 7:35. We have, Risky Business dropped on this day in, I want to say 1984.
Three.
83. Okay. Yep. We have a clip from Risky Business. I just want to say last night I've been watching The Boys at the urging of my son, and Jimmy Kuska has been on the show a few times to talk about The Boys. He's a big fan. I know you started it, right, Conrad?
Yes.
But it wasn't for you. Okay. I really love the first season. It is getting so weird and graphic. Like, I finished season 3 last night, and the amount of sex and violence, but in such a gratuitous manner, it takes you out of it. It's like, good Lord. And maybe it's supposed to be kind of comic booky, but the writing is good. Like, it's a good show. But anyway, I just was not in the mood for The Boys last night and needed a boys break. So I saw this new movie, Boneyard, available on demand, starring Mel Gibson. I'm troubled about Mel Gibson. He says or has said some really terrible things. He's a bit of a religious nut. He has taken shots at Jewish people every once in a while. He'll get drunk and say something stupid. But he still is capable of making a good movie. So, and I don't want to totally cancel someone. I was willing to give the movie a watch. I looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes. It got like in the 40s. And most critics, I don't think, like Mel Gibson. So I thought, all right, well, if Mel Gibson makes a movie and it gets in the 40s, that's probably like a movie that's in the 60s if someone sane is one of the lead actors. So I rolled the dice. It was not a good movie. The 40s is right where it should have been. It wasn't awful, but it was just like, oh man, it was just horribly written. The directing was bad, but it was based on a true story about a serial killer. The serial killer stuff is really hot right now. So I gave it a shot, called The Boneyard. I can't recommend it. And I don't want to be one of those people, Conrad. I don't want to be like, you know, so when you see like really, really right-wing stuff, like Bruce Springsteen will say something, oh, he was terrible anyway. He hasn't been good since Born to Run. I'll never buy another. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I know there's a lot of conservative Hollywood people, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis. I still watch their movies because I'm not voting based on what they say. So I was trying not to be that guy. So I did rent the Mel Gibson movie, but it was not a good movie. And Mel Gibson stuff, it looks like they shot it all in like 2 days. He's just at a conference table, mostly in every scene. It's like, all right, bring in Mel's new shirt. He changes his shirt. It's the next day at the conference table talking about what he's found out about the serial killer. So I cannot recommend it. I'll probably go back to The Boys tonight. But Risky Business came out today, right, Conrad?
Yes.
What year? 1983?
1983, okay. Yep.
We have a clip. Let's listen, because this is one of my favorite movies. When I was in high school, watching Risky Business, it was like, it was kind of a cool film because I wasn't sure I was supposed to be seeing some of it. Like, it was kind of, there was a lot of sex in it. There was a lot of really cool scenes, though, too. And I love the premise of it. Like, he just wants to get into Princeton. And he cuts some corners to do so while his parents are out of town. It's Risky Business. Get it, Conrad?
I do.
Okay. Have you seen the film?
I actually haven't seen it, no.
Oh, it's definitely worth a rent. All right, let's hear a clip from Risky Business.
We don't work for you anymore.
Oh, yeah? Okay, fine.
Right.
Then who you work for, huh? Who? You don't work for me.
Who? You don't work for me.
Maybe we work for Joel now.
She's only kid. I hope so. Look, Joel, you look like a smart kid. So I'm going to tell you something which I'm sure you'll understand. Now, you're having fun now, right? Right, Joel? Time of your life in a sluggish economy. Never, ever with another man's livelihood. Now, if you're smart, like I hope you are, you're not going to make me come back here.
That's Joe Pantoliano playing the pimp, also known as Guido the Killer Pimp. The one classic scene where Joel has his dad's Porsche out in downtown Chicago. They get in a high-speed chase. And I can never remember the name of the actor. He also played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds. But he says, I have a trig midterm tomorrow, and I'm being chased by Guido, the killer pimp. great movie, Risky Business. One of my favorites from the 80s. And you know what? I got to be honest. This question is not generating the interest I thought it would, Conrad. So you're welcome just to tell us what kind of underwear you're wearing right now, too. You don't have to go tell us what the other side is wearing or what you prefer. Maybe that's too weird. Maybe people feel strange telling us. I thought it was kind of harmless. I think the word underpants is harmless. It makes it much more less about like sex and naughty things. It's just underpants. So, as always do, though, you could chime in on anything we're talking about. Risky Business, Mel Gibson's craziness, whatever you want. We've got Tom Ryan coming up next on Nightlight, and I can't wait. He's so funny and such a great guy. Eric and Adam are here from Ask Your Mother. They'll be along at 8:20. We got a lot of fun still coming on Nightlight tonight. It's a Monday edition, and that's a fun day edition. This is Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. You bring up little dynamite. I'm gonna dig up little girl. Every woman on our house tonight. Make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant. I don't wanna be your son. Oh, my lover, I'm never gonna need a soft, sweet little girl's tongue.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The U.S. investigating an attack by two rockets that today hit the Al-Asad air base with U.S. and coalition forces in Iraq. Several U.S. service people injured, says a Defense Department spokesperson. No word yet who fired the rockets. At the State Department earlier, alongside his Australian counterpart, Secretary Antony Blinken, calling this a critical moment and that all parties must refrain from escalation.
It is urgent that all parties make the right choices in the hours and days ahead.
This hurricane, now again Tropical Storm Debbie, its center over the Florida-Georgia border, moving northeast. Power companies report over 160,000 outages, flood damage. Forecasters say some areas could get up to 30 inches of rain. Global stock markets sell-off today was triggered, analysts say, by new concerns about the U.S. economy. Analysts say the economy's fundamentals remain strong and the major index is still a lot higher than this time last year. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris has a slight polling edge over Donald Trump in Wisconsin and other key battleground states. ABC News reports if Harris wins Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, that should clinch a victory. She's set to campaign in Wisconsin on Wednesday. Expect to see and hear a lot of military activity over Wisconsin these next couple of weeks. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
It's the annual Northern Lightning training exercise at Volk Field. During this training, the Federal Aviation Administration has given the Wisconsin Air National Guard permission to fly at supersonic speeds. They'll be flying F-35s and F-16s. Now, these jets are loud. The Wisconsin Air National Guard says you may even hear sonic booms. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Heavy rain is expected again today. Ramping up this evening, we could see another 1 to 2 inches hit. The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch that lasts through tomorrow morning. Remember, if you encounter water over the roads, turn around, don't drown. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding eligible hunters to apply for the Gun Deer Hunt for Hunters with Disabilities. This year's hunt is between October 5th and 13th. Interested hunters should contact the DNR to confirm a location with a hunt landowner sponsor by the 15th of September. The program gives hunters with disabilities the chance to hunt in a place that's more easily accessible for them, with landowner sponsors willing to open their properties. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. A flood watch continues tonight. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain. Severe storms also possible. Cloudy and a low near 60. Early clouds and leftover rain, then clearing for tomorrow. Nice day, high mid-70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangent with Luke Mathers, and we'll discuss the new Democratic vice presidential candidate. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. missed exciting entertainment with Pete? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, civicmedia.us, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, here's your host, Pete Schwabe.
I see this right. Game of Thrones is set to have 7 spinoffs.
Yes, you are seeing that correct.
That's not including the one that's on now.
So it includes animated as well as live action ones.
Animated?
Yeah.
What's the new, have you seen the new one?
I've seen like 2 episodes. I don't know. I just haven't got into it like I did the other Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
What I heard is good. So I gotta give it another watch.
Yeah, for sure. And then you got other stuff here. Ben Affleck is going to play Hulk Hogan.
I just thought that was funny.
Does Hulk Hogan's life need to be cataloged? Like, do we need to, is it a biopic?
I don't. All I saw is the title.
Gawker?
I'm like, what does that even mean?
Well, Hulk Hogan liked to gawk. He liked to go to the mall and people watch. And his tidy whities. It all comes back to underwear tonight. Hold on. Oh, Tom says he's ready. Are we calling Tom?
Yeah, I will.
All right, let's try that. I thought he was coming on stream. Either way, that's good. Tom Ryan is on the way, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the other thing. All right, Ben Affleck, he's got a lot going on right now. He's getting divorced. And now this new thing, Suge Knight, who I don't know how reliable of a source he is, but he says that Ben Affleck, the timing of the divorce with J-Lo is because Ben Affleck, there are, when the authorities raided Sean Combs' mansions in Miami and L.A., they found illicit videos of J-Lo doing things that Suge Knight says Ben Affleck would not be able to unsee. So this guy supposedly does not like the spotlight. And if that happened, that's nothing that Ben Affleck did. It's something that J-Lo did, if it's even true. This is Suge Knight, who I think is in jail. So who knows if it's true or not? He could just try, be trying to hurt J-Lo. But it's so weird. But they've been in the news like a ridiculous amount lately with this divorce and selling their $65 million home and having to downsize to a $20 million home. We've all been there. But they just cannot get out of the news. And supposedly, J-Lo loves that. She loves the spotlight. She's always tweeting and Instagramming and all this kind of stuff. Ben Affleck supposedly does not like being the center of attention, even though he is a Hollywood movie star. I find that hard to believe, but whatever. He doesn't like the spotlight under those circumstances. I get it. But that is strange. And Sean Combs just sounds like a really, just a bad guy. And if this is true, Ben Affleck, this is how he is dealing with his midlife crisis. He's going through a divorce with J-Lo. Supposedly, he reaches out to his other ex, also named Jennifer, who was helping him through the divorce. And then, according to TMZ, she had just had enough. She's like, I'm sorry. You got to deal with this. They have like 3 kids together. And the last time people saw Ben Affleck out in public, at least according to TMZ, he was rocking that faux hawk, and they compared him to Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. So he's going to be looking for his next Jennifer, looking like Travis Bickle. I don't know if that's a good look or not. I don't know if chicks dig that. Who knows? But crazy stuff. And they are in the headlines every single day. We have a great show tomorrow night, folks. This is kind of funny, too. Tom Lennon is on the show tomorrow night. He plays Jim Dangle on Reno 911. He'll be here. And we put out our social media thing about the shows this week, the social media blast, post, whatever you want to call it. And Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother says, oh, I love Tom Lennon. Apparently, he was a big fan of The State. And I didn't even know about the state until after Reno 911 had been on for like two or three years. But the state in the 90s was like the cutting edge sketch show. It was on MTV. It was good stuff. Conrad, how are we doing with Tom? Oh, okay. Tom is, we are waiting momentarily. Sherry says on the stream, she says, I can say what I don't like. This is regarding our question of the night, underwear. We're wondering what you like on the opposite sex. Do you like guys in boxers, tighty whities? What do you like? Guys, what do you like girls in? If Conrad would call them granny panties. Boxers. Some girls wear boxers. The bikini style. What do you like? That's our question tonight. You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and let us know. Sherry says, I can say what I don't like. Yeah, that's more. And you're welcome to do that, Sherry. Sherry says, people that have their bellies hang over their bikini bottoms and you can't even see the bottoms, whether a suit on a beach or whatever. Yeah, I could see that, Sherry. That's pretty disturbing. Did you see Sherry's post there, Conrad? She doesn't like any kind of underwear where the belly hangs over the underwear so you can't tell what kind of underwear it is. I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a fetish site for that people love that. Oh, yeah, the belly hangs over the underwear. That gets my motor running.
There's a site for anything.
Yeah, exactly. Stacy Sue on the stream says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Stacy. Great to have you with us tonight. And also we have Steady Eddie. I love, this is my favorite new Nightlight listener nickname, Steady Eddie from the 608. Let me tell you something, brother. Hulk Hogan movie will be a biopic. Ouch. Oh, God, I am sorry I read that. I just complimented his name, and then he drops a joke like that. All right, so let's pivot here because I'm excited about our next guest. I've known this guy probably 30 years. As I mentioned earlier when we played a clip of his Letterman set, I'm in and out of touch with Tom over the years, but he is truly one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite people based on the discussions we've had and one of my favorite comedians. He embodies what a stand-up comedian is like in terms of he's not, and there's nothing wrong with people who are high energy performers and dance around and yell and all that kind of stuff. There's a place for that. But Tom is just an outstanding joke writer and a great deliverer of the jokes that he writes. And he's truly a great stand-up. And he joins us now on Nightlight for the first time, Tom Ryan. Hey. Tom, how are you?
Pete, long time.
It is great to see you.
Did as good as I could with the lighting and all that. I mean, it's been years.
Listen.
What a very nice introduction you gave.
Well, I could have gone on and on, but I'm laughing because I watched a lot of your stand-up today.
Oh, nice.
And you said I live in a 600 square foot apartment in New York, and you said it's 300 by two.
300 by two.
That made me laugh, but you look like you're doing okay there because I could see you on the stream. You've got some depth. Okay.
Here's how okay I'm doing. I'm not at my own apartment right now.
Oh.
I am cat sitting. That's my side gig is I'm a cat sitter.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, comedy is, comedy. I was big in the 90s. Big in the 90s and 2000s. Now it's cat sitting.
Hey, listen, whatever it takes.
No, exactly. Now, here's the thing. I am right now cat sitting for Todd Barry's cat.
Oh, my gosh.
So I get on the subway, grab my laptop, come down here, feed the cat, 10 or 11 in the morning, hang out with my laptop, maybe go to the library, do something during the day. I just fed the cat. I'll do your podcast. Back home I go. And Todd Barry's cat's famous because he did his last Showtime, or not show, he did it on YouTube, but it got him, so many hits. And the last 5 minutes is nothing but him joking about his cat with a slideshow.
Oh, wow.
So that's just fed. So that cat might show up here at some point. But anyway, in my own place, yes, 600 square foot studio apartment. It's 300 by two. And it was a horrible place to live until I put in a dartboard. That's the new tag. So thank you for that.
First of all, well done to you on the use of our library system. I don't hear that people go to the library much. I think the bibliography is a lost art. So good for you, Tom. That's fantastic.
The library, the New York Public Library at the corner of 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue, is a building that takes up an entire block in Midtown Manhattan. Now, I tell people I have an office in Midtown. They go, no way. I go, yeah, it's great. It's a writing room. You can go in there. There can be 100 people in there using their laptop, doing whatever. It is the best environment. And I kick myself for not taking advantage of it often enough. I don't do it that often. But when I do, I go, why do I not do this all the time?
It's great. I've written before I had a laptop, Tom. I would go into a library with a legal pad and write my scripts out longhand. I mean, there's something about the atmosphere there that's better than a coffee shop or whatever. You know, it's great.
It's magical.
Yeah.
And they have lists in the lobby. They have a list and samples of the books that have been written in the reading room at the New York Public Library.
Wow.
And it's impressive.
That's cool.
It's like I said, it's a magical place. So that's how, and I'm trying to, I'm doing what I can. You know how it is. We got into this thinking, oh, work hard for 5 to 10 years. The rest of it takes care of itself. You have to reinvent every few years. And so that's what I'm in the process of doing. I'm finally pulling the ripcord and I'm going to try to get in with the cruise ships.
Oh, okay.
I had to do corporate gigs, stuff like that. But I'm trying to get back to being full time.
Good for you. Tom, it's interesting you say Todd Barry, because I remember Todd when I did Caroline's Comedy Hour in like 1994. I was there with my buddy Jimmy Pardo. And Pardo and I did separate episodes, as I remember, and Todd Barry might have been on his. But I thought, oh, this guy is hilarious. And we stood and talked to Todd at the bar for a few minutes.
Cool.
It's so funny that you guys are friends, because you both just are that quintessential stand-up. Great joke writers, great delivery, not a lot of bells and whistles, just really solid stand-up comedy. So it does not surprise me at all that you guys are friends. That's great.
We started together in Florida. I saw Todd Barry his second time ever on stage. Oh, and wow. I go, this guy is going to be great. And he, right now, the reason I'm down here cat-sitting for a few days, back and forth feeding the cat, he did a Tonight Show about 2 months ago where he did an entire set about his cat. So they got the idea. Let's send him out to the Pasadena Cat Show convention and just have him wander around the convention, roll tape. So they're currently, he just finished it, and they're putting together a thing that's going to air on the Tonight Show within, a couple weeks. But you know how quick Todd is with his ad libs and all that. It'll be a great segment, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You know? Let's talk about that. I didn't know he was a Florida guy, but you started in West Palm Beach. I was introduced to you. I had worked with Dan Whitney, who became Larry the Cable Guy. And Whitney was great to me. He introduced me to people in Milwaukee. He got me into Florida, into your home club, without even a tape. I mean, he was really
great.
It was very fun. Yeah, always indebted. And I've kept in touch with him for a long time, but haven't talked to him in a while. But he introduced me to you. And I realized what a nice little scene that was down in West Palm Beach. You guys had a nice little crop of comics. Was that a good place to start?
It was great. I had just moved down from Philadelphia. I'd quit my job, moved down from Philadelphia. And the job I moved down for, it fell through. They sold the company. So I was high and dry. And I got another day job. And then took a doorman job at the Comedy Corner. And I saw Cable Guy and Greg Schwemm, a local
Greg
Chicago.
Greg Schwemm,
who's back in Chicago now. I saw those two do an amateur night for a radio station. I thought, oh, man, there's a comedy scene here. I'm going to get into it. And right at that time, the Comedy Corner opened, and I applied for a job as a doorman, and they accepted me. And it was the best job I ever had because it ended up being an incredible club. I used to drive over to Dan Whitney's place, knock on his door. He was still living with his parents. Hi, Mrs. Whitney. Hi, Mr. Whitney. Is Dan home? And we would drive down to Miami and do 5 minutes on a Tuesday night open mic.
Oh, my gosh.
A few months after that, the Comedy Corner started their open mic. It was Todd Barry, Dennis Regan,
Jeez.
Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, Carrot Top, Phil Tagg.
Hey, Tom, hold that thought. Let's pick up right there. We're going to do a quick thing here. Tom Ryan is here, ladies and gentlemen, the very funny Tom Ryan, as seen on David Letterman. We'll pick up more with Tom after this. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I'm going to share a story about me and my money. This starts in my 20s, when I was what I will call an avoider. I was an avoider because I just felt like I was bad at money. You know, I didn't want to think about money. I didn't want to do anything with money except make it and spend it and close my eyes and pray that the rent check would cash. I spent a few years beating myself up about not paying attention to my money until I started having a very short money meeting with myself every month. And those meetings taught me that with a little bit of effort, I could be on top of my money. I could know when it was coming and I could know where it was going. And eventually, I was able to make plans for it. So if you're stuck in the avoider trap, hey, I know what it's like. Invite yourself to a money meeting. I promise you it'll pay off. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Sherry checks in on the stream and says, I love my library. In fact, everywhere I've lived, I always go to the library. Good for you, Sherry. And that does not surprise me at all, knowing what I know about you, Sherry. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. This is really exciting. Tom Ryan is here tonight. He's truly one of my favorite comedians and one of the best joke writers I've ever met. He is here tonight. He's been on David Letterman. He's had his own dry bar comedy special. Yep. And we're talking about the scene where he started in West Palm Beach with people like Todd Barry, Larry the Cable Guy, Greg Schwemm. Tom, Greg Schwemm has been on this show a couple times. He and I became friends in Chicago, and I remember him telling I had totally forgotten that he started in West Palm as well, though.
Yes, and he's one of my closest friends. We talk all the time, and he's great. He's doing really well.
Yeah, yeah. So
love Chicago.
Who are your – I'm not surprised at all that you ended up in New York, too. You have that New York – how is it going there? Do you like doing stand-up better than there? Go ahead.
I love it here. It's funny. When I was in L.A., I went out – I remember going to the premiere of your Green Bay movie, and that was very exciting.
Funny.
The last time I saw you. Yeah, it was great. But L.A., I loved L.A.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't getting enough stage time out there. And I had some friends that say, hey, there's a bunch of stage time in New York. I'm originally from Philadelphia, always loved New York. And back in 2006, I decided to move here. I don't know how to silence notifications, by the way.
That's okay.
I decided to move here. And the main club where I work is the comic strip on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
That's my main room here in New York. And I work a few other places, but I reconnected with some comics. And one of the coolest things I got to do is one of my really close friends who I met out in LA is Gary Goldman, who's doing really well.
Funny guy.
Well, he's amazing. One of the highlights of my life and career is a couple years ago, Gary and his wife, they say, hey, come on, we have an extra ticket to the Yankees game. Do you want to go? I say, yeah, I want to go. And on the walk up from the subway to the Yankees game, he says, hey, have you ever been to Carnegie Hall? I said, no, I've never been there. He goes, would you like to open for me at Carnegie Hall?
Oh,
he had just offered. And he had a million people to choose from. And I'm honored to this day that I got to open for him at Carnegie Hall. Couldn't have gone better. And it was, if I quit comedy today, that was one of the most fun nights I've ever had in comedy.
Just
hanging
out
afterwards, people came in from out of town, that kind of, you know, a lot of people came up from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The show couldn't have gone better, and I'll never forget it. And my intro that went over really well was, I was done, the pressure was off. I said, all right, folks, are you ready? This next gentleman is a very good friend of mine. I've known him since the early 2000s. When we both used to live in LA, and I remember back then I said to him, I guarantee you that I will get to perform at Carnegie Hall before you ever do. and I beat him by 20 minutes. So that did really well. And that was just a fun night. So that's, I love living here.
That's great. Gary Goldman, for those of you listening, he does a great bit. I highly recommend Googling it about how they named the state, how they abbreviated the states.
Yeah.
One of the best bits I've ever seen in comedy. Very funny. When did he start, Tom?
He started probably, let me think, because I think he's about on a 10-year path behind me. He probably started about 1998, 1997 maybe, up in Boston.
Yeah. God, Boston has great comedians.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Has come out of there. And yeah, he's doing, I worked with him in Chicago about 6 months ago at the Vic Theater there, which was also a thrill to work.
Beautiful.
With.
Yeah. I saw Seinfeld there. And
fly in, fly out, one of those deals, you know?
Yeah. Do you ever get to Wisconsin? Do you work any of the rooms here, Tom?
I do not.
Okay.
I would love to.
Yeah, you totally should.
And if you know of any places in Chicago, I'd love to visit Chicago again and work there too, even at like a weekend room, and I'll feature, I'll do whatever.
Yeah. So I talked about your style a little bit. My guest, by the way, is Tom Ryan. He's a very funny comedian. You can check him out. Just Google Tom Ryan, David Letterman, Dry Bar Special. His stuff is out there. He's great. You have a great, like I talked about, deadpan kind of, not deadpan, just you're very laid back. Who are your influences?
Conversational.
Yeah, there you go.
The influences. The two first comics that I used to sit down and study, I had it on these albums on vinyl. And I'll say, well, Carlin, of course, that's a given for everybody almost. Okay. Stephen Wright, Woody Allen. I used to sit down and listen to those albums on vinyl and try to reverse engineer. How did they do this? How did they have this final result? What started? How did that start? What was the germ of the idea? Then Dennis Miller, when that Off-White album came out, and then I used to just watch people on TV and tape off of TV, Tonight Show spots and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then, of course, and I got to open for him many times over the years, Brian Regan, who I think is not just one of the current greats, I think he's one of the greats of all time.
I agree.
I put him there in the way upper echelon of stand-up.
Same.
Those kind of people like Dana Gould was always one of my favorites. Emo.
Oh yeah, great, another great joke writer. Yeah,
and it's like, how did he do that? That's what I, whenever I watch Emo, I just go, how did he figure that out? That calculus equation that he figured out, he did it.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, the one about his, he was out walking. I was out walking my dog, you know, and the dog gets hit by a car, and the guy panics and gives him, he apologizes and he gives him $20. He goes, "I'm so sorry, I killed your dog. Here's $20 to help ease your pain." And Emo goes, "I took the $20, and on that day, an entrepreneur was born."
My favorite Emo one, too, is he was walking home from school, and there was some carpenters working on the roof, and a guy was calling me. He was pounding nails on the roof, and he called me a paranoid little weasel in Morse code. Tom, can you hang through us, hang with us through a quick news break?
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Tom Ryan is here, and I'm going to share a memory with you about Woody Allen tapes you made for me, Tom, that I just remembered now. He's here. He's going to hang out through the news, the award-winning news brought to you here at Civic Media. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We will be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his curl. Tune in Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah. What would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.